Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're giving you a full hour of Penn State football talk. In quarter number three, we were talking about the offense and the hype surrounding several different players. This segment, Dustin, we're going to look at the defense and all the hyped up players that we've seen on that side of the ball. And here's where I'm going to start, Dustin. I don't believe there's been a guy that has been hyped as much as Jair Brown. He's from came in from the junior college route, just like his partner at safety, and he got significant playing time last year. Penn State missed out on the kid from West Virginia, is a very good safety who entered the transfer portal, ended up following his position coach to Georgia. So it almost seemed like that was the cause and effect. We didn't get the transfer portal guy that everybody wanted, so we may as well say that doesn't matter because Jair Brown's going to be a star.
I have to do a good forensic accounting on the dates and times that we heard good things about Jair Brown versus the public sentiment and the official announcement from Tyke Smith. So maybe there's something to that, but I think inherently I don't think I'm as cynical as you, or I don't think I'm definitely not as cynical as Greg. No person his age should ever be as cynical as Greg Pickle is, but he is, he's like a grandfather.
I've earned that right through the years. I'm old
you
enough
have.
To be cynical, right?
You're allowed. Greg is not allowed because life is too short. He's too young to be cynical. I would say this, and I would say the same thing about you, Jim. You're too young to be cynical also, but anyway,
stop it.
I think if you combine the nature of what they've said about Jair Brown and him looking like he's on the inside track to start, I think that's legitimate anyway. I also see, it surprised me to some extent last year how early we saw him in games. And it seemed to me that there was confidence and they were showing it with their actions last year. And it suggested, in my eyes, that I don't think he's going to be Jaquan Brisker, but I think that he can make a similar ascent to the starting lineup as Brisker did coming year two, coming out of Lackawanna College. I think Jair Brown's going to be a nice compliment if that's what plays out. He's going to be a nice compliment to Jaquan Brisker. I can't think of anybody that I would expect to beat Jair Brown out. I would be surprised, as we sit here right now, if he's not your week one starter alongside Jaquan Brisker in the lineup. I just don't see it really with Jonathan Sutherland. I don't really see it. And we haven't heard anything about Enzo Jennings or Tyler Rudolph. Those guys are needing a little bit of time to come along and develop, it seems like. Jair Brown, it looks like he's the guy to me.
And it seems more like just what you said, that it's more of a default that he'll be starting next to Jaquan Brisker, because if not him, who else? And we haven't gotten that hype train going yet with Enzo Jennings, who highly regarded. He's now, a freshman. So everybody's a freshman anymore. But
He's a second-year true freshman, Jim.
Okay, let's go with second-year true freshman. So, yes, what you've got to hope that is Jair Brown is worthy of the hype. I don't think that there's any doubt that he's the lead guy for that second position. I don't think we've ever seen enough from Jonathan Sutherland to be that guy. We know he's very good on special teams. He could be that rotation, that third safety. But I don't think any of us have seen him as a starter. If there's anybody who could compete with Jair Brown on the defense on the hype train, it's Nick Tarburton. Another one of those guys like Charlie Ketcher, there's a few others that they seem to have been around absolutely forever. And I'm just trying to look to see what his listing is as far as, is he a third-year redshirt sophomore freshman, but we've been hearing his name quite a bit, haven't we?
And I think it's time for you know, the Penn State coaching staff to kind of make that push. I'm not saying I'm not buying it, just because there's an explanation for it. He's going to be a fourth-year redshirt sophomore, by the way. And that's what I anticipated. But with him having injury issues and the transition, I mean, it makes sense that he would be working behind the scenes and trying to get up to speed. And I think the nature of the hype when it comes to him, you know, James Franklin, first of all, said we need him to have a big year. It's not a luxury anymore. We need Nick Tarburton to have a big year, is what he said. Also, just kind of learned the nature of how he's struggled through injuries and stuff like that. So he's as healthy as he's ever been. I'll buy that. And I think I'm just going to have to wait and see when it comes to what all this means in terms of what his role was going to be. I think if you're looking at him as the third defensive end, he can bring that, you know, bring that physical edge, bring that experience to the defensive end rotation. They're going to need a guy like him, who maybe he's not a rising star. Maybe he's not the guy that you're going to see playing on Sundays necessarily, but who's going to be a really rock solid part of this rotation. That's my expectation for Nick Tarburton in 2021. I don't really have expectation or hopes to see him be a guy who's in double digit sacks, but I think he can be a really nice player this year. And I always find myself kind of rooting for a player like this, who's been through so much, who's been asked to do a lot. Arriving on campus and then being asked to change positions is something that throws your development way back. And it seems like he's embraced that. And it seems like he's ready to play the biggest role of his career. We'll just have to see what exactly that means and how, in terms of how big that role is.
A couple things in his favor and in buying the hype is that he has been nicked up, no pun intended, for a while. It was Dwight Gault, I think, went out of his way to compliment him. Again, Dwight Gault will compliment any player that you ask him about, but he seemed to go out of his way. And the third thing is, it's about opportunity. And at defensive end, there's going to be some opportunities to get into the rotation. So he has all that going for him. Speaking of opportunity and a bit of hype also, Dustin, let's talk about the incoming transfers. And specifically on the defensive line with Ibukidi and Tangelo, they were brought in, and some things that work in their favor are, first of all, you don't bring in a transfer unless you think they could contribute, I would think is typically the case. And because they were brought in to contribute at positions of need. So that combined, you got to think that the expectation at the very least is we're going to see these guys playing.
Oh, without a doubt. I don't think they'd be here if that wasn't the working expectation on all sides. And I think the praise to me, I'm buying a little bit more with Ibukidi than I am Tangelo necessarily. I think with Derek Tangelo, it's going to be interesting because Penn State's going to have a philosophical decision to make. I mean, Hakeem Beamon is... he's about around 280 pounds, I think, now. He's going to win matchups on quickness. I think he's going to be able to penetrate and shoot gaps. Tangelo, he's got some quicks, but he's the bigger, run-stuffing, more powerful guy. What do you want in there at a given time? How much does it mean to be a starter? I could see them kind of maybe matching up based on what opponents do and stuff like that, but he provides options. I think Ibukidi, to hear them talk last week, I mean, they expressed a lot of kind of gratitude that they were able to land Arnold Ibukidi from Temple. Obviously, he's done what he's done, and he's produced at a high level of college football, but they seem to really believe, and I believe them, that his talent is more in line with what you're looking for from a big-time defensive end out, you know, in any Power 5 conference. So it looks like he's got the production and he's got the physical talent to really make an impact at defensive end. And there's opportunity at both of these positions. I just think they're going to ask a little bit more of Arnold Ibukidi than they are Derek Tangelo.
I believe you're right. And again, you have to judge the levels of hype. They seem to hype both these guys, but that level of excitement about Ibukidi just seems to be a bit higher. Maybe it's the need, but it just seems like there's an extra level of excitement there. And then as far as Tangelo goes, you don't necessarily on the defensive line have to be a starter to make an impact. they rotate those guys in. James Franklin used the expression of wanting, you know, 2.5 players for each position. So in a tackle position where there's two of them, that means you want 5 guys. I think Tangelo will definitely be within those 5 guys and in the rotation. Dustin, another place where we're seeing the hype train moving, and it's really been interesting because I enjoyed the tape on both these guys from high school, and that's Kalen King and Kobe King, the brothers who... Kalen King is the cornerback, Kobe King is the linebacker. We'll hold the conversation for another day, how they could be brothers and so physically different. But one's a cornerback, one's a linebacker, and there's just been a lot of great talk about both of them.
Which I buy. I buy the very nature of the hype. Talk about maturity and kind of that professionalism and the consistency in their approach. I think physically they both make the grade, but this is really good stuff when it comes to seeing them continuously improve over the course of their careers. Now, what I don't really know if I'm buying or not is that there's room at the end for either one of these players. And you know, I think if it's the right player, the right physical talent, he can force his way in just about anywhere. So I don't think you necessarily need a wide open depth chart for a guy like Kalen King to contribute. But man, the cornerback depth chart is just loaded with guys who have more experience than him. It's hard for me to sit here and believe that he's going to crack that rotation. But if he can make a difference on special teams and be the 5th or 6th cornerback or something like that, it might make sense to burn his red shirt. It might make sense, you know, if you're not sure under these conditions where you have so many freshman eligible guys. If we can use you now and you're going to make the team better now, it also doesn't hurt us to start the clock on you now, too, just to clear up maybe this logjam. But same deal with Kobe King. Where does he fit at linebacker? There's a possibility for sure, and he could force his way in. But this will be something I'll be really interested to see how it plays out. How do these young guys crack these rotations that look, at this point, pretty difficult to crack?
And you also have to be aware, Dustin, and we sometimes forget about this, with all the craziness of everybody getting the free year last year of eligibility, that for the redshirt basis, you can play 4 games. So they could take a look at them. Perhaps if there's an injury and you need to fill in for a couple games, they could even do that. So there's a lot of ways to work this. And if they just force their way into the rotation, well, the way things are also these years, you let them become part of it. You start their clock. You'll still get 3 or 4 years out of them. Dustin, that is it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.